Matthew chapter 6, chapter 5. We just finished becoming authority physically as well as mentally. So we have to be very cautious not to leave a room for Satan. So any male and female should not spend time together alone or in a room. So if you work in the church, only a brother and a sister, and close the door in one room, that's absolutely no good. If a brother and sister want to spend together, work together, your room should be open. I think there is a brother who teach in a college, and she told me every time when there was a female student come in, he always opened the door. Because right now, if nothing happened, somebody was accusing you of sexual harassment, you have no way to defend yourself. So in, not only in the church, in anywhere, try to avoid a single male and female in one room and lock the door. Even the church elder, deacon, or pastor have something to talk to you. If it is alone with the door locked, absolutely no. You should not reserve any chance for the Satan to work. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. Thirty-three to thirty-seven, talking about we should not swear. The reason they swear is because they lie a lot. So when they want to say something really important, nobody want to believe. So they have to point on the Jerusalem, point on the heaven, point on God, and point on their own head to swear. And the point the Bible tried to tell us is verse 37. But that your yes be yes, and that your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one. That means you have to speak the truth. If you speak the truth, eventually, everybody, you have the credibility. Everybody will believe in you. So what does that mean? Credit card. If you don't pay your bill, next time you can apply a credit card. You want to buy a house, you cannot apply the loan. Nobody want to borrow your money. You lose your credit. But in terms of a human being relationship, the same. For some people who is a habitual liar, lie become part of their nature. I think that this will never happen as a Christian, because in the First John say, we are in the one who is true. God is true. Jesus Christ is true. When we believe in Jesus, we are in the one who is true. So we should be true. If we are not true, we have any falsehood, you cannot have a very intimate with God. It's impossible. So those who are very close to God, always the one trustworthy, very truthful. So the character is reliable, and the words is trustworthy. In Africa, it's different from in the United States. In Africa, you have to suspect anything until it is proven this person is trustworthy. In the United States, it's just reverse, right? You trust everybody until the point you prove it's not trustworthy. Because in that society, everybody lies. The country I'm afraid of the most to go is Nigeria. From the time you board the airplane to the time you landed in the airport, everyone approach you, almost is the one who try to take advantage of you. One day I was with Preacher Young, I landed in Lagos. were waiting for a long line to purchase a ticket. All of a sudden, there was a person wearing the airline and they got a uniform, approached us. Oh, so why are you coming here? We are missionary. Oh, thank God, you work for God. I will help you. Oh, and free charge, I will purchase for you inside because I'm an employee. Oh, we really thank God we encounter this merciful person. And I asked, how much price we have to pay? He said, because we buy inside, so we have to pay some commission to people inside. 25% more. The seat is running out of the seat. So we just give the person money. And after we get the ticket, we board the airplane. The airplane only half of the seat filled. Another half is empty. So all of a sudden we realize we had been tricked. Such kind of things happen quite often. So this is only example. I try to tell you some part of the world. When you live in there, there's no feeling of security. Nobody is honest. But in the church or as a Christian, we should not in that way. Okay. 38 to 48. Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 48. It's talking about to love others. 38 to 42 called the second mile, because according to the law in the time of Jesus, the Romans and a soldier can force any people to carry the burden for them for 1 mile. And the Jews are obligated to carry the burden for 1 mile. But if it is the second mile, the citizen has the right to refuse to go. And Jesus commanded them not only 1 mile, you should also go the second mile. Verse 41. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, and do not turn away. This is just try to show our love and compassion. Of course, those who force you to go 1 mile because they have the need, the heaviest burden, they want to carry the burden things. And you go extra mile to show your sympathy, and by doing so to show your Christian love. There was a story in the Old Testament about extra mile. Who married Rebecca? Jacob? Isaac? Oh, okay. Do you know why? Why Isaac married Rebecca? Because she went one extra mile, right? The Abraham older servant went back to the hometown of Abraham, tried to find a spouse for Isaac. Abraham was a person of faith, but her son cannot find a spouse. Still asked the older servant to go back to hometown. So if you cannot find a spouse, go back to your hometown, it's okay. Abraham set a good example. You can import one, no problem. Abraham is a good example. Okay, and the older servant don't know which one is God's will, and he saw a woman and come, and the old servant just pray, if I ask for water and this woman volunteer, I also want to give the water to your camel, and that one should be. And you have to understand the background. The well is tens of feet down to the ground. And use a bucket to throw a bucket of water. It takes time, it takes a lot of energy. And the camel can drink tens of gallons of water. So for a woman who wants to feed a camel, unless she really has a compassionate heart, otherwise she will never do that. So when Abraham say, okay, can you give me water? Rebecca not only beautiful outwardly, inwardly is also beautiful. And she gave the water to Abraham, and also say, let me give water to your camel. He's a person who has compassion inside, not only to men but also to animal. Right. So as a Christian, not only you love the men, I think you will love animal. Really, in the Old Testament say even to love animal, do not abuse the animal. You cannot abuse child, how can you abuse the animal? You have to love the animal too. So when the Rebecca gave the water to the camel, at that time the older servant know, this is the one. So go one extra mile, and then you will find something special from God for you. The next one, 43 and 48, love your enemy. This is the most difficult part in our spiritual life. Love your enemy. What is the usual practice adopted by the people? 38. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist evil person. Forty-three. You have heard that was saying, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who have, those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So the usual practice in the world is, if you treat me good, I treat you good. If you love me, I love you. If you don't like me, I don't like you. Right? If you hate me, I hate you. So how the other people treat you will be reflected in the way you treat others. This is the most ordinary person. So as a Christian, if we adopt this kind of way to deal with other people, we are nothing but an ordinary person. So we have to transcend ourselves, elevate ourselves with the love of God. But this is really, really not easy. Not talking about hate. When you drive in the highway, all of a sudden somebody cut in front of you, what did you do in the evening? You use a high beam, to let other people feel, or somebody you press on the horn, That's only one of the examples. It's not easy to practice this. Let's see Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the goal of the Christian. Be perfect. Perfect means without blemish, without shortcoming. Just as your Father, Heavenly Father, who is perfect. And before Jesus Christ make this conclusion, he talk about 48. You love those who you love you. 47. Before he mentioned this, let's see. 44. Love your enemy and bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus, he taught the disciple in this way, and also he practiced what he said. In the cross, there was a very famous prayer. Jesus said, God forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. He was in an extremely agony moment, and he prayed God to forgive those who persecute you. I would like to know from you, does anyone of you have this kind of, have ever do this? somebody make you very painful, and you pray from your bottom of your heart, God, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Anyone have this kind of experience? Nobody? Oh. You can try. Huh? When you are cornered, you are in extremely bad circumstance caused by somebody else. How do you react? Is a reflection of what kind of spirituality you have. If you can act just like Jesus Christ, and then you can say, to live is Christ. You live, it's the image of Christ. Oh, it's very difficult. But it is not impossible. How come it is not impossible? You know, somebody say, okay, because Jesus is God, become flesh, so he can do it. I'm not God, become flesh, so I cannot do it. Oh. But if you look into Stephen in the book of Acts, can Stephen do that? Yes. Now, he pointed out the wrong of the Pharisees, those who persecute him. And out of anger, they stoned him to death. And before he died, he saw the heaven open. And he knelt down and prayed, God forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Exactly the same. And how can Stephen can do that? Because the love of Jesus Christ fell upon his heart. That is the only answer. So without being moved by the love of Jesus Christ, without being filled by the love of Jesus Christ, it's absolutely impossible we will practice in this way. Now, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. No way. We can never do that. Even nowadays, if you visited the Muslim country, they really use the eye to return eye, use the tooth to return tooth. Their law is according very similar to Mosaic law. If they caught somebody steal, cut off the hand, right? Commit adultery, stoned to death. They use that kind of law. But that kind of law can never overcome an enemy. The best way to eliminate enemy is what? To love your enemy. That is the best way. Other than this, no other better way. If you kill your enemy, the choosing of your enemy is going to deal with you later. So this is the perfect law. To love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. So if we really can practice in this, just what I mentioned a few days ago, if you really can practice this, there's no marital problem, there's no divorce, there's no family dispute. If you really can practice this, and love those who persecute you, pray for those who persecute you, human relationship has no problem. So a lot of problems stem from lacking of love, divine love, not human love. The love of Jesus Christ. The Sermon on the Mount is a constitution of the kingdom of God. If you can practice the Sermon on the Mount, and the kingdom of God is in your heart, is in your life, is in your family, is in your church. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 is talking about first paragraph from verse 1 to verse 4. Do good to please God. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you do the charity deeds, in what kind of way you do it, you are going to have rewards. The first reward is from man. The second reward is from God. If we do the charity work in order to show off, then you will be rewarded by men. So a lot of people know you contribute a lot of money. A lot of people know you give alms constantly. So they will praise you, and then your name will be highly honored in the society. You already receive your rewards. But if you do the charity work secretly, nobody know it. Nobody will praise you. Your name will not be praised. But God will reward you in secret. So the best advice is verse 3. When you do a charitable deed, do not let your left know what your right hand is doing. What does that mean? Left hand and right hand is the same body. Even the same, even the husband and wife. Sometimes the wife do the charity work, don't let the husband know. Why? Because the wife will not go tell it, but the husband is going to tell it. Go everywhere, my wife do a good work, do you know? Oh. Or sometimes the husband do a good work, don't let the wife know. Oh. And God is going to reward you secretly. The same thing in the church. Oh. The same thing in the church. You contribute the money. You see, in our church, how much money you contribute, nobody know it. Only you and know it. The reason we give the receipt is because of tax purpose. If other than tax purpose, even we don't have to have the receipt. So nobody knows. It's only between you and God. Now, you contribute money because you love God. That's all, nothing else. If you visited the garden group that Crystal Cathedral was built up by Dr. Schuller, the first two rows of the seat, right in the seat, you can see some name inscribed in the seat. What can that happen? Because when he was planning to build that Crystal Cathedral, he was running short of cash. So right now, later on, he found out a very good way. If you contribute more than $5,000, your name will be inscribed in the seat. After he make this announcement, a lot of rich men, the money keep on coming. Oh, so you know human beings' weakness. Everybody want your name to be known. And because of it, he collect a lot of money. Even in the San Juan Capistrano, he has a retreat center. Even the stone paving on the ground, there are names. You contribute, your name will be there. But they already received rewards in the world. In the 1980s, we went to Africa to preach the gospel. We are amazed by the way they contribute the money. They always dance. And when they dance, not only in the church, they are dancing, line up and outside, and circle around and come back. And I asked the full-time minister, say, they already sing him and dance about 20 minutes already. How come not stop? The minister told me that in Africa, the only amusement is dancing. So if you dance happily, naturally the money will come out. So the minister looked at when they contribute the money, they drop in a pan. The full-time minister look at the box, say, the money is not enough. Let continue to dance. Dance until the money is enough, that's finished. So when we start the sermon, everybody was sleeping, dozing. They dance too long. And some of the members, they have the money, and they contribute 10 naira. 10 naira is around $1. They hold the 10 naira very high, dancing and waving. I am offering 10 naira. So everybody knows. And later on, we encourage them, you just set an offering box in the rear, in the entrance of the gate. And no dancing to collect the money. The church only collect about 50% of the money. So from the statistic, we understand 50 of the money because of other reason, of the reason other than loving God. Only 50% of the money is really from the heart of loving God. When we give alms, show your charity work, you do it secretly, and you will be rewarded by God. There was a person in the book of Acts, even before believing Jesus, God remembered his giving alms. Who was he? God remembered his charity work, Cornelius, yes. Even before he converted to Jesus Christ, his prayer reached God, and God remembered his charity work, Cornelius. So even a Gentile do the charity work, God remembered. So how much more we have to do that? Uh, Let us think about your annual budget. How much money you earn. And in your budget, how much money you allocate for charity work. The charity work including contributing the tithe, including do anything other than your own yourself, that kind of purpose. How much? What is the percentage? Of course, the higher the better. 10% is a must. More than 10%, if you can contribute more, that you even far better. Okay. The next one, verse 5 to verse 8. Even when we pray, and the Pharisees, they like to stand in the crossroad and pray there. 5. For they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corner of the street. Do you like to do so? There's a corner in the street, pray for Holy Spirit there. I don't think you like to do that. But at that time, they don't have Holy Spirit yet. They stand there and pray for a long time and everybody look at him. Right now, it's 9 o'clock, how come he is still praying there? Everybody says, wow, he is very spiritual, pray for so long. Nobody knows whether he's sleeping or praying. He only stand alone quietly there. But he already get a fan there. So when we come to the church, we just pray secretly to God, and God will reward us. So some people, if we are not careful, including me, we will use a religious way as a means to satisfy our own vainglory. Surely. Surely. Just like the Pharisees. The next one, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray your Father who sees secretly and will reward you. Shut your door. There are two kinds of door. First is the door in your room. The second is the door inside your heart. I know you heard a story. Maybe you heard that before. Somebody told me that there was a brother who was running a grocery store and sell the candy. And he prayed for Holy Spirit for a long time, never received Holy Spirit. One day, a full-time minister visited his grocery store, and the full-time minister did not see anybody to keep the store. And he went in, and as soon as he went in, he heard the voice from that brother. Who is it? Hallelujah, the minister. Okay, continue to pray. So when he was keeping the store, he prayed for Holy Spirit. Somebody come in, he said, $1 to put in the box, and how many candy do you take yourself? And continue to pray. By praying in this way, never receive Holy Spirit. And this for the minister say, close your door and pray, you will receive Holy Spirit. So when you pray in the home, while you are boiling the hot water, don't need to pray. You cannot concentrate your mind. When the telephone ring, just let it ring. Don't pick up the phone. So some of the church members come to the church and wear the pager, our mobile phone. I have really been bothered by some of 1 hour sermon, the mobile phone ring, another one, the mobile, and that time beeper. Why not turn off the mobile? If it is life-threatening, of course, it's okay. But most of the cases, it's not that. Some people just rush out and listen to the mobile phone talk and come back. It's not only bother others. It never concentrates your mind. in your neighbor. So turn off the mobile. Turn off your beeper. After the service, you turn on. There was a message inside if that's really important. The same thing happened in the church. The usher, unless it's really emergency, don't come in and call this brother, call that brother. It's disturbing. If it is life-threatening, of course, we have to inform this one. Not only inform this one, everybody has to kneel down and pray. So other than this, let us concentrate our mind to pray and to worship God. So how should we pray? Close your door. Close your inner door. Verse 7. But when you pray, do not use a vain repetition as the prison do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. True seeker asked me this question before. He said, the Bible said, do not use some repetition, repeat same words. How come you teach me? Continue to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. You are against the teaching. Verse 7, when the Bible say, do not repeat the same word, doesn't mean this way. In Revelation chapter 19, in the future, we continue to shout hallelujah to praise God. Do not say you repeat word means what? The father and mother keep on nagging the children. Put on more clothes or put on more clothes. Between them. When you pray to God, God heal my sickness, God heal my sickness. The whole hour of prayer keep on saying, God heal my sickness. That doesn't make sense. Before you kneel down, God already know you are sick. Before you open the mouth, God already know you have the desire to be cured already. So you can say once and continue to pray. Don't repeat the same words. So if you talk with the Christian of other denomination, you will discover if you pray with the words of understanding, your prayer can never last long. Really? Because you pray with the words of understanding, no more than 10 minutes, you run out of your word. You have to repeat the same thing. Only you can pray long, only when you pray the Holy Spirit. The longest prayer with the words of understanding I experienced is in Argentina. 15 minutes. What so long? During the evangelical service, one of the one who did the opening, pray from Adam, pray until the revelation. So long. I look at that. It's not pray, it's preach to God. When we preach to the congregation, you're preaching to God. So pray with the words of understanding, they can never last long. You will repeat the same word. If you pray with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God will move you. Right now I pray for this one, right now I pray for that one, further on I pray for myself, then I pray for church. Your prayer will be very long. Otherwise you will repeat the same thing. Verse 9 to verse 15, of course, we are going to spend a little bit of time during the prayer section about both prayer. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, talk about fasting prayer, and 18. I know some of you fast prayer, not one meal, only 1 hour. Right now, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'm fast and pray. I don't want to eat. Of course, you're praying here. How can you eat? But after 8 and 9 p.m. I will finish fast and pray. Let me go and eat. That doesn't call fast and pray. Fast and pray means no eat and no drink. If you fast one meal, for example, if you fast breakfast, it's from the yesterday, last night, you go to sleep until the lunchtime. No eat and no drink. That called fast in breakfast. If you fast for lunch, after the breakfast, until the dinner time, no eat and no drink. That called fast. If you fast dinner from the lunch time until the time you sleep, no eat and no drink. This is called fast. You try to abstain yourself from fulfilling your desire to show your sincerity. In order to show this kind of sincerity, when you fast, for example, you fast lunch, and during the breakfast time, you should not eat double portion. I fast lunch, also breakfast, and let me eat double portion. You are full. That's not fast. You only eat one portion of breakfast, and let your stomach be hungry in the lunch. That's called fast. If you eat too much, you still full during the lunch time. That's not fast. And fasting prayer is very, very, very effective. It's very effective. You really do it in the right way. According to the Bible, fast and pray 40 days and 40 nights, Moses' countenance shines the glory of light. He fasts 40 days and 40 nights, God forgives the sin of Israelite. In the book of Jonah, how many days do they fast and pray? He preached to the city of Nineveh. How many days did they fast and pray? in book of Jonah, how many days do they fast? Like, how many Paul here? No Paul here. How about Peter? Any Peter here? No Peter. How about John? Any John here? The Peter all disappeared. No Peter, no Paul, no John. Okay. How many days? 3 days and three nights, right? From the king out to the people, even the animal fast. Animal fast. I know one of the brothers, and they converted to Christ in 1950s. At that time, very generous, fast, including chicken, including a pig, all fast. The chicken was very hungry, jumped to the top of the roof. That happened in the book of Jonah. And nowadays, we live a very abundant life, but fasting prayer is become more difficult. For those who are livelihood is a little bit poor, fast prayer is almost, it's easier. For the Africa people, you ask them to fast, no problem. One meal, two meal, no problem, because their stomach's always empty. But we eat a lot. Nobody's malnutrition here. But for us to fast, it's difficult. But thank God, most of you fast. I hope that you can, if there's a need, you can continue this kind of habit. In the summertime, it's very difficult to fast, right? Very thirsty. If you pray long, very thirsty. How wonderful to drink a cup of water. In the wintertime, it's very difficult to fast, too. Wintertime, it's very cold. A hot coffee, how wonderful that would be. Give you energy. All right. The best season to fast is spring and autumn. But in the spring and autumn, because the weather is good, the appetite is extra good. It's also very difficult. So if you don't want to fast, you have a lot of reason. But if you want to fast, all the reason is not a reason, because I want to fast. So try, in these 2 weeks, try to fast and pray. Now pray for the fullness of Holy Spirit, and pray for spiritual transformation, and try to experience something more powerful. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrite with a sad countenance. You see, in that generation, a lot of people, I don't know what happened. They try to use religion as a means for their vainglory. When they fast, they don't wash the face. They look sad. Somebody asks, what happened to you? I already fast 2 days already. They remain 1 day. I want to fast 3 days. And somebody don't read, oh, you are very religious. You fast 3 days. I cannot even fast for 1 day. So use fasting prayer as a means to satisfy your own vainglory. That's absolutely no for a true believer. So when you fast, what should you do? Verse 17, anointed your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to fast your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees the secret will reward you openly. If you want to fast for many days, 3 days, 1 week, I think you need the movement of Holy Spirit. If God really will move you to fast in so long, you can do that and God will help you. But if you want to fast by your own will, without movement of Holy Spirit, maybe it's not very good. When you want to do something extra, ask God to move you. Verse 19. Do not lay for yourself treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroyed, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. And lay upon yourself the treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroyed, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For there is your treasure is, where there is a heart will be also. Where there is a money, there your heart will be also. Some people feel that the church have to run the business. So if the church is rich, we don't have to contribute the tithes. It sounds right, but it's not right. If the church is rich, you don't have to contribute the tithe. What is going to happen? Do you know? Well, there is a treasure. There is your heart. Because you contribute your money to the church, so your heart will be in the church. If you don't contribute the money to the church, your heart will not be in the church. Reverse, vice versa. If your heart is not in the church, you will not contribute the money to the church. So in the history of TJC, in some particular area, the church is very rich. But the church member did not contribute the money. The church work never prospers. Never prospers. Even the lunchtime, nobody wants to cook. And what? Hire somebody outside and cook. Nobody wants to clean the chapel. Since the church has money, hire somebody to clean up the chapel. That kind of church never prospers. Where there is the money, there is your heart. We contribute the money to build the church. Our heart is in the church. We care about our church. Because this is the church. I contribute part of my effort. So if you, God bless you, if God bless you, you earn a lot of money. You can lay treasure in heaven if you use the money in God's kingdom. So be rich can be good, but it also can be bad. It all depends on how you use the money. Money itself is neutral, but the way you use the money will let you become a good person in front of God or become an evil person in front of God. Right now, the United States is in the longest expansion, the 9th year or 10th year, never have recession. So a lot of money, a lot of people are very rich in paper. What do you mean, very rich in the paper? Because the stock increased a lot. When we are rich in the paper, try it. Withdraw some money over to the church, because once the stock fluctuate, you lose your money already. I met a brother who looked very sad. What happened? Looked very sad because last March and April, the stock, especially technology, plunged 40-50%. He looked very sad. The paper money disappeared. So while you are rich, utilize your money. Until one day, if you don't have money, you don't have the opportunity to do anything for God. Lay up treasure in heaven. 22 and 23. The lamp of the body. The lamp of the body is the eyes. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. We cannot understand in this, we cannot interpret it with a detailed meaning. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. How come your eye is good? For those who wear eye glass, your eye is no good. Your whole body is in darkness. No, it's not in this way. When you say your eye is good, that means your eyesight, your spiritual eyesight. Just like four living creatures. Whole in front and back, the whole body covered of eyes. If you can see anybody who has four eyes, you're a monster. But the four creatures, the whole body covered by eyes. What does that mean? They have very sharp eyesight, spiritual eyesight, can make a very proper judgment, can look into the reality of the matters. We're never deceived by Satan. We're never deceived by the outer phenomenon. They were look into the real essence of a matter, full of eyes. So if your eye is good, you have spiritual eyesight, your whole body will be full of light. Your life will be full of light because you will walk according to God's will. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. What do you mean your eye is bad? You are nearsighted. You only see the world. You only see in this life. You only see whatever you can see with your naked eye. Then your eye is bad. Your whole body will be in darkness because your lifestyle is going to go astray. You cannot go according to God's will. So your whole body is in darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is in darkness, how great is that darkness? Darkness eventually represent death, spiritual death. Darkness represent hopeless. Darkness represent sin. Oh. So those who don't have spiritual eyesight eventually will fall back into sin. Oh. Oh. So this chapter 22, verse 22 and 23. Oh. Okay. In 2 minutes we are going to finish. Oh. 24 to 34 say, do not worry. Why we should not worry? From a more passive point of view, because worry can never change anything. You worry until your hair turns into gray. The matter cannot be solved because of your worry. From the positive point of view, because God will take care of everything. Your needs, everything, God is going to take care of you. So verse 34, 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So do not worry about tomorrow. Even though tomorrow you have an assignment, homework, do not worry. Only worry today's assignment. God will give you strength to fulfill your homework tomorrow. Seek his kingdom first. The kingdom is invisible. You seek something invisible, you will be rewarded with something visible. Some of the Christian or even the non-believer, they will say, first I have to make a living. Without making a living, how can I serve God? It sounds reasonable, but if you come back to the Bible, if you put God first, God has a miraculous way to arrange your life. All your needs will be provided by him. So do not worry. If a person troubled too much by worry, you will never joy. So trust your worry to God in prayer, in Philippians chapter 4. You are going to experience some unexpected blessing of God and peace from God. So do not worry. In your future, there are a lot of uncertainty. So you will worry. And that is a good time to practice the words of God, to discipline your faith. Don't worry. Trust your Father in heaven who care you, care about you. And he's waiting, waiting you to trust your burden to him. And he will carry your burden to let you enjoy the rest. Because that is the purpose of Jesus Christ come to the world, to give us abundant grace and the truth.